Thank you and welcome. We certainly do appreciate your taking time. I realize that everybody's schedule seemingly is very busy, and the fact that you would allocate or give us a little of your time, thank you. We hope that the program that you will be seeing is worthy of your consideration. We want it to be a program that where we include a lot of segues, things that change and move, a song or an interview or going on location. And we're trying our best to keep updated materials, and we're going to be sharing with you soon about our taping with Pastor Jim Scudder at Independence Hall at Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The crossing of the Delaware, we went there to the Delaware River where General Washington crossed that river on December the 25th, Christmas Day, 1775, and it went into the next day. And the tremendous hardships, the dangers that they faced, and it's a great segue. We'll be sharing that with you very, very soon. And also we did taping at Valley Forge, where patriots were facing some bitter winters, and trying their best to survive. Men wearing rags on their feet, people bleeding, their feet bleeding from the winter scorn and the winter's attack upon them physically. This nation has been birthed in freedom. Patrick Henry made a great declaration. He said, our nation wasn't founded upon religion, nor by religionists, but upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a Christian heritage. I think that could be argued effectively in any courtroom across the nation, how that the Christian principles were inculcated, incorporated into our documents, like the Declaration of Independence, that really served as the common law. You know, even in the last paragraph of that declaration, after 27 indictments against King George III, the writer said, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And they did that knowing that they believed in a divine creator that had given us our rights. So we have to continue to promote those things, and that's what we want to do on Faith, Family, Freedom.
God created us in His image. If we're not created in the image of God, we have no place here. The people that have gotten too many degrees behind their names are trying to advocate and basically tell our young kids today that we're just here, that somehow we're here, make up your own mind as to what you want to believe, do as you please. There is a casualness that's engulfed us as a society. In other words, we see it in church attendance. Church attendance. Most congregants do not want to commit to more than one service per week, and then don't hold me too long. And farther to the back, or farther away from the church we want to be. It seems to me that the foundation here is that God created us. If we are created by God, we have a responsibility to Him. This Bible today is not some man's attempt to write something fictionalized. This, you can take, this is the Word of God. Yes, this is Jesus Christ made in Holy Scripture. Every verse throughout this Bible ultimately points to Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen. Right.
This is why we have a book. We don't read from Heather Has Two Mommies. We read the precious Word of God. And that's what our children today, and it's so sad. The good message we heard today from the pastor about our responsibilities. I told, maybe it'll be our next governor yesterday and the lieutenant governor, I said, I've got 5 grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren, and I want to leave a legacy to them. I want to do something. The easiest thing in the world is to do nothing, not to have anything, not to be anything, and not to want to be anything. I refuse to be that. I just as soon go on tonight as I have nothing that I want to do. I'm here to tell you tonight, as long as I live, I've got a passion. I want to make a difference. There's some people looking at me. I had breakfast at Ted and Toddy yesterday with one of our family members, and I hadn't seen him for a while. But I told him when he left, I said, I want you to remember one thing, that I love you. And God, today I was walking the hall, and a man came to me, and he said, asked me if I, by my name. And we talked just briefly. He used to be a postal clerk. He said, I've got a dad. I said, why are you out there? He said, he's got a heart attack. And he said, he's not saved. I said, would you like for me to talk to him? He said, I don't know if he will receive you or not. He said, my mother is saved. But he said, he would get aggravated if he thought I'd sent you. I said, you don't have to do that for me. But I said, I'll go if you would think it would be possible. I went in to see this man, and I could tell he's very sick. He's had a heart attack. He looks horrible. And his wife, of course, with my hearing, it's not as good as I might like it to be. But the only thing I said to this man, I called him by his last name. I said, my friend, if you don't feel, you know, if you're not able to my visit, I wouldn't want to hurt you in any way. But I said, let me just tell you something. I said, you need, if you're not ready, you need to trust Christ. You need to take him by faith. I said, listen, whether you think of this place or that place, there's one thing for sure. You can't stay here. I said, we're all leaving out one of these days. I said, boy, I sure wouldn't want anything to happen. I said, we don't have the promise of another day. And I said, would you like to further a conversation? He said, well, I don't know if I'm ready. And I said, well, I sure hope you get ready. But I told his wife, I said, if I can come back, I will. I'll go again. My point is today, there are false souls that are perishing, going out into eternity. There ought to be some compassion in us to tell the good story that Jesus saved, that he died, was buried, and is risen again. Hallelujah. So, you know, we see here that man in the first chapter here, Brother Ron, is in a prepared garden. But in the new revelation, Brother Kenneth, we're in a prepared city. That ought to make us get happy about it. I'm going to a city that John saw coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Amen.
And friends, we also are doing some podcasts. I hope you'll take note of it. BBS Radio TV. That's a large podcast. I'm told that it's the largest on the planet. I also do a podcast with Ed Henry that was formerly with Fox News. And we've been invited to possibly have a guest appearance on Newsmax. So we're trying to reach as many people. We're thankful to the Lord for his blessings and for his helping us to maybe to help you. We want to help each other, and nobody knows it all that is humanly speaking, except the Lord. And so we have to try to do what we can do under these restrictions. We realize that our knowledge can be limited, but we have to be vigilant. We have to be sober. The Bible tells us, for our adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The attacks that we see weekly, we see things today that we would have never imagined just a few years ago. We would have had no trouble identifying neuter or but today, you know, we see a different attitude. Men back in the early 40s faked their age so they could get into the military. Today we have people faking their gender so they can get into women's sports. And my thought is that if we're gonna just allow everybody to participate together, then let's take the title off. Let's not call it women's sports. Well, you see the absurdity, the abnormalcy. You know, when we have a president that most people would consider very incompetent, you know, if he has dementia, but it's good that he can operate as good as he can with dementia. But if he has not dementia, then something is very much awry that we would see the erratic behavior. People seeing and noticing that he doesn't seem to know where he is, doesn't seem to know what to say, doesn't seem to know how to react. Strange behavior. We should pray. We are always to pray for the authority. Pray for those that are in places of authority, the rulers that have rule over us. It doesn't say that we pray if we approve of their policies or their leadership, but we certainly need a change in America. We need somebody that will respect Christian values, that will respect the God of heaven, that will know that in ourselves, we need help. And every good leader, whether it was Franklin Roosevelt when he prayed a prayer on D-Day, June the 6th, 1944, I think it consisted of maybe 6 minutes, and the major radio stations all over the country carried it. And he asked that we pray, for these men who represented fathers and sons and husbands and relatives. They were going into situations that they realized would be imminent death for so many. We lost 4,400 people plus on that D-Day, or they call it Operation Overlord. And so today we can't allow those people, their efforts to fall to the wayside. We have to contend for the faith. That's why if you ever felt it would be advantageous, I'd like to come into your area. We try to speak as much as we can around the nation. We're always looking for new opportunities. But now I think we have something that you're going to really enjoy. We always like to have a good song, so let's enjoy it with us.
So many times you made the trip with empty water pots and left without enough to fill the smallest one you brought. But meet the well that never dries, he'll wash away your stain. The only one that satisfies it, Jesus is his name.
Come to the
well of living water, flowing from on high.
He is the
way till it gets hotter. Tell your thirst goodbye.
Drink from that
well. Like that woman when he told her all about her sin. When you drink this water, you will never thirst again. Come to the well of living water.
Come to the well,
flowing from on high. The well to live is hotter, drink the thirst in mine.
From that well,
come to the well, come to the
thank you.
if you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen.
In his new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, my dear friend Andrew Phipps delivers his life story straight from the heart, with a fascinating journey of faith, hope, and inspiration, even during the hard times. Andrew shares great stories from some of life's hardest lessons. Adding his own personal homespun humor and God-given wisdom, he encourages us to live life with a servant's heart. It's a great read that will have you inspired and give you an understanding of Andrew's journey as he shares personal stories of his family, his Christian faith, his great love of country, and how the transforming power of God changed the course of his life. It's often said that life gives the test first and the lesson later. Andrew makes an honest effort to help us by sharing his life experiences with humbleness, sincere candor, and his faith in God. We all have been there, those days when life is a struggle. I hope you will enjoy Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle, But. I highly recommend it.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle, But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
And friends, we do have a website, Phipps Faith Family Freedom. If you'd like to order our book, It's Always a Struggle, But, that would be wonderful. And that will also help us. And in turn, we'll send you our book. And maybe it'll be a blessing to you. Secondly, I'm a member of Liberty Baptist Church, 9601 South Cowan Road in Muncie, Indiana. And it would be a joy. What an honor for me to come into your place where you worship. And we're an old-fashioned type church, and we certainly don't want to make apologies for that. We're proud of it. We're proud of the fact that maybe we can worship God as many of our forefathers are, my dad, my mother, and people like that. We're trying to contend for that style of worship. And you know, when we take a look at what we see developing, you know, I don't know anything about this artificial intelligence, but I'm afraid that we're going to see things that change diametrically the pendulum for the coming years. I think things that we may now observe in our culture may be obsolete or annihilated. I think some of the things that we've never experienced will come into our being. You know, back in early 1900s, maybe many people never got out of the community where they lived. Some had never ridden in a car. Some didn't know anything about modern conveniences, air conditioning, obviously, and radio and entertainment, having facilities within our homes and having good homes where we could be pretty well insulated from the extreme cold and so on. Life was pretty primitive, I suspect, around the early 1900s. You could get a Ford car maybe for $460 up to $600. A sack of flour, I was told, was a 5-pound sack, was 43 cents. Miners would work somewhere for the $1 a day wages. People farmed and they worked on farms. Some would get 50 cents, some would get a dollar. A lot of people never had some of the conveniences we have, but our hope today is not in the material things, it's in the spiritual and in the Lord. And that's why we're here, and we're hoping that you'll stay with us and enjoy the remainder.
Somebody said that during the Chicago fire, Moody, you know, was preaching. There's a famous story. He was preaching on the topic, what then will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? But he told the people, I'm not giving an invitation tonight, come back tomorrow night and make your decision. Well, there was no tomorrow night, because that was the night of the great Chicago fire. D.L. Moody said, he'll always press people to believe immediately and not take the future for granted.
The hardest thing that I've ever done in my life was to sit in a hospital room and watch my son die. And watch my wife watch her son die. Watch my other two children watch their brother die. And there was nothing I could do. And I would have done anything. Couldn't do anything. And as painful as that was for me, and as difficult as it still is, I've never experienced anything that has made me more aware of the love of God. What does that even mean? Because I watched my son die and couldn't do anything. God watched his son die for me and for you. And he could have stopped it. But he loved us so much that he didn't. And you think when he did that, he's going to accept your religious activity? There's no universe. There's no universe. If you continue in my words, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Become students of truth. That's my admonition today.
He was very personable. However, I sensed that he was very shy, frankly, as I was. I rather thought that we were alike in that respect. We were very different in many ways. But he had a very great sense of privacy. I think that's one of the reasons perhaps we hit it off rather well. I remember one night, for example, that Eunice Kennedy, his older sister, who was not married then, had a dinner at her house where he was there and I was there. And a few of the other young members of Congress. And we talked far, far into the night, not incidentally, about domestic issues where we would totally disagree in many cases, like on Taft-Hartley, but about foreign policy where Kennedy and I saw the world pretty much alike. He was anti-communist, I was anti-communist. He was for foreign aid under proper circumstances, I was. He was for reciprocal trade, and I was. We had a lot of things in common.
And friends, you know, when we study the political landscape, we see people that sometimes we would think didn't have much in common, like maybe Richard Nixon and John Kennedy. But in reading, and then when I went to Washington on several occasions, I often ate there where President Kennedy wrote his speech about Ask Not What Your Country Can Do For You. But also, there is a place there where Harry Truman came. There's a place where Richard Nixon came. And, you know, many times we all have our foibles. We all have our weaknesses. We have the character flaws, some people call it. But one thing even about Richard Nixon I always admired was I think he had a good command of foreign policy. And he seemed to be able to see within inside the tent, within inside the parameters. And even today we have to realize that when we're dealing with countries like China, North Korea, Russian, Putin, and others, we're dealing with people that are brutal, that have no regard for life and Christian values. They believe that power is the ultimate, and they use it for personal gain. So we have an opportunity. Remember, we have a website. Go to it, take a look at it. We thank you for being a part of our broadcast here. Hopefully you'll tell others about it. We're wanting to reach others, and we thank you today for it. I've enjoyed myself. I hope you have. I'll look forward to being with you at the very next opportunity. But until that very special time, this is your friend, Andrew Phipps. Have a great day.